You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Pirate fans, welcome into the show tonight as we head into a massive week 11 here in college football. And this is the time of year where things really start to get interesting as we head into the late stages of the season here. We start getting a little cold weather, some rain, some sleet, which can have a dramatic impact on these games. And certainly a huge week for East Carolina as they head to Cincinnati. But before we get into, you know, all of that, I'd like to welcome in my fellow colleague here of ESPN3, Jay Sunhalter. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I can't wait for some big games this weekend. It's going to be a good schedule cover.
Absolutely, my friend. And I also want to welcome in producing tonight, Bubba Rosenbaum, who will be helping us out here tonight. And appreciate all your hard work putting these games together, Bubba. But, you know, Jay, before we get started, I want to call Bubba out for a little bit of a Big Ten bias, a Northern bias that I picked up on, you know, when he started putting these games together. He left out all the Northern teams, Jay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw the schedule and the slate, and I kind of thought he must love the Big Ten. But maybe there's just a lot of bad games going on in the South or the West. So maybe these are the best games. I mean, maybe we're in the wrong. I don't know. We'll have to bring Bubba in on this discussion, get his true feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him have a say.
you never know, right? You never know, Jay. And, you know, before we get into it, Jay, another thing I wanted to mention about tonight is how about the start of college basketball, Jay? And I know you call games for East Carolina and other colleges occasionally. And are you excited here as the to get the basketball season underway?
Yeah, I love basketball. I mean, and this is a fun time of the year during crossover season when, you know, football is getting into the time of the year where everybody's making their final move and the basketball starting up. So it's a good time of year. I did Campbell last night versus St. Augs. So game one, and it was good to be back. And and, you know, basketball season is going to be great too.
Now, Jay, were you a basketball player back in the day as well?
I was growing up and in high school. Yeah, I didn't play in college, but I did through high school. So,
gotcha.
I used to be able to shoot it a little bit. So,
well, I'll just tell you this quick 30-second story. I decided to play basketball the other night for the first time in probably a good year or so. And, Jay, I came out of the gate on fire. I nailed a three. Then I went into the post. I hit a little step-back jumper. I was feeling good. I started talking a little trash, Jay, to some of these young guys.
Yeah.
Really kind of feeling it. And then about 5 minutes in, my legs went to rubber, and I realized, you know, I'm 45. And it was all downhill from there, you know.
Well,
it was painful.
Hey, you got your shots in early on. That's good. I'm proud of you.
Absolutely, man. But so Jay, before we kind of look forward here to week 11, let's just take a step back and check out week 10, where some huge games, some big surprises. I think none bigger, Jay, than LSU getting it done at home in overtime against Alabama. What did you think about that one?
I mean, that was awesome. The 2-point conversion at the end of the ball game. I mean, you know, I just loved how they put it all on the line, and win or lose, you know, they were going to make it happen, and they had control of that outcome. And I really like the call. I mean, a great play call, but I like the call to go for it there, because if you have an opportunity to beat Alabama and you have the ball and it's really in your control, if you can execute it, that's what you want. And they went ahead and did it. And just an awesome atmosphere to see everybody celebrating at the end of the game.
Yeah, and how about the guts on Brian Kelly? I mean, to go for that 2-point conversion, Jay, I mean, I totally agree with you. You have a chance to put Alabama away at home. But I really feel like, you know, maybe you tell me, but I feel like 9 out of 10 coaches don't have the stones to go for 2 there in that spot. I mean, that's the type of call where if you don't convert, you know, you're going to have a lot of unhappy fans. But you got to give him credit. I mean, he stuck to his gut. There was no hesitation. He went for it, and it paid off.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you can just continue to play on, and sometimes that may be the right call, but you're putting it in the hands of, you know, possibly a kicker, or, you know, possibly some, you know, Alabama or Nick Saban being aggressive. In that opportunity, he said, hey, we have a chance with the ball to end the ball game. I like my chances, and I trust my offense and my quarterback to execute over me just continuing on. And you're right. I mean, he put himself on the line. Sometimes when you do that, it doesn't pay off, and that's a hard thing to do. But when it does pay off, you earn a lot of credit for that. So that was a big moment for him.
You know, Jay, before you came to East Carolina, I was part of a team that went up to West Virginia and scored, you know, very late in the game. You know, instead of going to overtime, Steve Logan decided to go for two in that spot. We didn't convert. We did not convert. We lost the game. So I've been on the other side of that. And but you know what? I, even though we lost that game, I really didn't have a problem with the call going for it. Maybe it could have been a different play call, but in terms of just the strategy to go for it, I had no problem. That's the type of thing you walk away sometimes with a loss, but at least you, you know, you put it out there and you gave it every chance to win. So I don't know if you recall that game. It's a little before you got here. But Jay, what about number one, Tennessee goes into Georgia and takes a beatdown 27-13. What'd you think about that one?
Well, I mean, I think in that ball game, I mean, it's just Georgia's defense is next level, and they're the only defense that looks like that. And Tennessee has been playing great, but I mean, they went against a really good defense on the road against a team that was, I think, motivated to show they're still the, you know, defending champion, and that was Georgia's day, and I mean, they just took it to them.
Yeah, they did, and you know, I just had a feeling. You know, when Georgia gets in the bright lights, when they get into prime time and it's really time to play a physical game and put best against best, I just had a feeling they were going to be a little too much for Tennessee, and they really were. I mean, Tennessee's offense just couldn't get in rhythm, and you got to give Georgia credit. I mean, they're in my opinion, clearly the number one team in the country right now, and you know, a lot of football left, but I think it's kind of theirs to lose, in my opinion. You know, but we shall see. And then, Jay, how about this one, which I don't think either one of us saw coming? Clemson goes into South Bend, Indiana, and just gets absolutely destroyed, 35-14 by Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was going to be like that. I knew there was a chance of an upset. I don't think people would have expected it to be a beatdown like that. But I think it just shows you that Notre Dame is good when they're on. But we've seen them, you know, look terrible this season and really good. And they were on Saturday. And then Clemson, you know, I think just kind of got exposed in a tough atmosphere on the road. And their offense needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it does. And how about Notre Dame, like a true Jekyll and Hyde? I mean, the fact that they've had some bad losses this year, Jay. They lost to Stanford, which is inexplicable. It's inexcusable. Lose at home to Marshall. But here they go. As we get a little further into the season, they're finding their stride a little bit. They go up to Syracuse, win that game pretty convincingly, and then they go home. And I'll tell you, it's not very often you see Clemson lose, you know, by 21 points. I think they were down 35-0 at one point, if I'm not mistaken. That doesn't happen very often. So, you know, you got to give some credit to Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame and, you know, definitely have that thing going in the right direction, Jay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be how they finish this year. I mean, that was a huge win, but now they got to – yeah, they still have to play Southern Cal and a couple other games, so they got to finish strong.
Absolutely, and, you know, last thing before we look forward here to Week 11, Jay, how about the top four? You know, what I'm looking at right now has Georgia number one, followed by Ohio State, Michigan, and then I guess a little bit of controversy with TCU in that number four spot. You know, any, do you have any disagreements there, Jay, with that, or how would you line
up? I think it's, you know, Georgia, Alabama, or Georgia number one, Ohio State or Michigan 2-3. Then, you know, they'll probably put TCU at four. I think Tennessee should be part of that top four. I don't think TCU will end up being in the final four. but they'll probably put them there this week. I mean, they may end up losing to Texas this Saturday.
Agreed. And, you know, Tennessee drops down to number 5, and, you know, LSU moves up to 7, and Alabama at number 10. I mean, you rarely see a Nick Saban team at Alabama anywhere, you know, below number 2. Right. So, you know, with that dynasty. So it's going to be interesting, man. It's pretty wide open. I suspect, you know, a lot of change. I do think Tennessee is a tight, regardless what happened against Georgia, I think they're a top 4 team. I'd like to see them work their way back into it. But, hey, we won't speculate any further. Let's Jay, what do you think? Let's go ahead and get into week 11 here. And, Bubba, if you can, if you're able
I'm here. We'll dive into week 11. You know, starting off, you just mentioned the Crimson Tide, number 10 this week in the polls. And Alabama, despite having lost a couple games now, they're on the road in Oxford against Ole Miss, and they are an 11.5-point favorite.
Absolutely. So, Jay, I'll kick this one over to you first. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I mean, that's a big spread, and Ole Miss is pretty good. You know, I always say every week, why is a spread this big? I'm shocked that it's that high. I think Ole Miss can definitely win this ball game. I'll go with Alabama to get some redemption and win, but that's going to be my pick, is Alabama to cover, but this is a tough one.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, you take a look at this line, 11.5, and it's like, you know, you get the sense that people around the country have the feeling that, okay, Alabama lost last week. They're going to be on a mission to sort of right the wrongs and get back on track. So, you know, they're going to blow out Ole Miss. But honestly, I don't see it. I think there's this Alabama team, I don't think is at the level of some of their previous teams here of recent years. And it's at Ole Miss. So I agree, man. I think Ole Miss is going to, you know, hang in there. Possibly win the game, but I think they'll cover that 11.5. All right. Bubba, what do we have next?
Next up, a huge game within the American, UCF coming off a win at Memphis. And then obviously prior to that, that home win over the Cincinnati Bearcats, they are traveling to New Orleans to take on the Tulane Green Wave, and Willie Fritz Ball Club is a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll jump in on this one first, Jay. We'll kind of go back and forth here. But I really like this Tulane team. I think they're very disciplined. I think they defensively, they're a really, really good defensive team. And offensively, you know, they don't blow you away in any aspect of the game, but they're really efficient. Really like the running back and Pratt, the quarterback. He's playing good football. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't beat himself. So UCF, on the other hand, hey, they're playing really good too. And I think it'll be a very close game, but I'll take the Green Wave at home, Jay.
I agree with you. I think Tulane is the real deal. I think there's a lot on the line for them. Being at home is a huge factor. Plus with their defense, I think they're going to cover, win by more than 2.
All right. We're agreeing tonight, man. We're agreeing.
Same page.
Bubba, what we got next, buddy?
Next up, back to the SEC. Georgia coming off that dominant performance against Tennessee between the hedges. Now they travel to Starkville, and the Bulldogs are a 16.5-point favorite in Stark Vegas.
Jay, what do you think here?
Well, this is a tough one. I mean, all these are could go either way. I'm going to go ahead and roll with Georgia. I just think – yeah, you said maybe it's going to be a letdown game. I just think anytime you can play defense the way they play defense, I think they're going to sprint here on this final stretch of the season. I think they're clicking, and I think they're going to go ahead and beat Mississippi State by 17 or more.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, I think the key here for Mike Leach and Mississippi State is they need to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick, very quick, because UGA is going to be coming. You know, they're going to bring the pass rush and – you know, but I think the main problem here for Mississippi State is Georgia can just cover you up so well on the back end. And I think they're just going to overwhelm Mississippi State. I really do. And as much as I like Mike Leach, the fact that this is a home game for them, Georgia's the best team in the country. And I think they're going to pull away. And I'll say they cover the 16.5. Jay, we're now in agreement on three games tonight, buddy. Three games. So we'll hopefully we have some disagreements here soon.
Now let's head down to Austin, Texas. Texas coming off a big win last week in Manhattan. And they are 7-point favorites over undefeated TCU.
What do you think here, Jay?
Well, I think this is, you know, the shock of the spreads for TCU's undefeated. You know, they're +7, they're the dog. I'm going to go ahead. I think Texas is going to win this game, and I think they're going to win by more than 7. I just think this is one of those games where Texas is going to win at home. It's a huge game. TCU's been on fire, but it's going to end Saturday night.
Yeah. You know, in my opinion, the Big 12 is the hardest conference to pick games in. And like one example is Kansas State beating Oklahoma State like 48-0. And then they come back last week and they lose to Texas. And it's just so hard to pick these teams. You know, they're so up and down. But, you know, here are my thoughts on this one. I mean, Texas, first of all, they're at home, right? They see TCU as kind of like the little brother in the state, but yet they're ranked number 4 in the country. They're ranked ahead of Texas. So I think they're going to be extremely motivated. I think that crowd's going to be electric. I think TCU might find themselves in a position where they're trying to hang on a little bit. So I'm going to agree. I think Texas at home will find a way to cover that 7. It's going to be close, but I think they'll take care of business.
Now to the ACC. North Carolina had a bit of a close call last week in Charlottesville and Wake Forest. And came up short in Raleigh against NC State, dropping a second consecutive game. And the Deacs, you know, suddenly they're right there next to last in their division. Who would have thought that just a few weeks ago? But, you know, who do you guys like in this one?
Well, I'll go first on this one, Jay. I mean, Wake Forest, I don't know what's going on with that team. I mean, they showed so much potential early on. And now all of a sudden they get blown out at Louisville. They lose at NC State against a true freshman backup quarterback. There's some problems right now with that team. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign at all. And I see Wake Forest a 3.5-point favorite at home, but I don't like that spread. I'm going to go with UNC to cover that and probably win the game. I just think, you know, Wake Forest is going in the wrong direction here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to base my confidence in Wake Forest. I just think they've been kind of kicked around the past couple weeks, and I think they're going to find a solution. And I think UNC has been rolling, and they may be due for a ball game where they don't play as well. So I'm going to go ahead and say Wake Forest with the upset to cover.
The real thing in this matchup, you know, that the North Carolina defense has improved. But at the same time, I think it could boil down to this. I think North Carolina is going to get theirs. Drake May, just really about as good as any quarterback in the country as a freshman. But North Carolina's defense, and yes, they're improved, but I think if Wake can take care of the ball, that they'll certainly have success. But that's been the thing. You know, Sam Hartman in that offense, they turned it over 8 times in the second half against Louisville, and they, I believe, had at least 3 turnovers against NC State.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, when you look at the over-under in this game, guys, it's 77.5, and I agree with that. This is going to be a high-scoring game. I think defense will be somewhat optional here, and, you know, I expect both teams to be in the high 30s. So it'll be a fun game to watch offensively, but I think the Tar Heels will cover. What we got next, Bubba?
Sticking within the ACC, another team looking to bounce back is obviously the Clemson Tigers. They were dominated in South Bend. Not so much they lost, but just the way in which they lost was very surprising. At one point, trailing 35-0, if I'm not mistaken. they return home and they're facing red hot Louisville. Louisville, obviously, the win over Wake Forest, and they handle their business better than most thought they might against James Madison, a very solid first-year FBS program out of the Sun Belt. And the Cards go to Death Valley, a 7-point dog.
Mm. Jay, what do you think here?
I think Clemson's going to get some redemption. I think Clemson's going to win and cover this. I think they're going to go home and get their problems fixed on the offensive end.
Okay. All right. Yeah. This is a tough one. I mean, again, Louisville, you got to like the way they're coming on here late in the season. I really like Louisville's defense. You know, they can get people a lot of problems with their defense. You kind of saw signs of it early in the year. Wins against Syracuse and, you know, played solid defense against UCF. But I do think Clemson will right the ship, and they don't lose at home. So I think Clemson's going to win the game, but I do think Louisville's going to cover the 7. So I'm going to take the Cardinals to cover the spread here. What we got next, Bubba?
Give me a moment. I was going back to the SEC. LSU travels to Arkansas, a 3-point favorite.
What do you think here, Jay? So, Jay, I can't hear you. I lost you there for a second.
Sorry. Oh, it's guys. Okay. I think this is going to be a close ball game, and you know, I'm tempted to say Arkansas is going to cover, but I'm going to go with LSU to continue their hot streak.
Jay, what did you think of Arkansas losing at home last week to Liberty? How about that?
Well, I was shocked, but that's why it makes me even more confident they're going to play well because they just lost. I think they're going to get it turned around, and LSU's coming off a big victory. But, yeah, that was a huge win by Liberty on the road.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I'll tell you, very impressed with LSU. I really liked them last week because of the fact that they were at home on a night game in Baton Rouge, and really like the way that team's heading. I think Arkansas, you know, I don't know what's going on with that team. Even though they're at home, and I agree with you, it could be a natural letdown game here for LSU, but I do think they'll find a way to get it done. So I'm going to go with Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers to get it done in Arkansas this week.
Now let's head to Huntington, West Virginia, as App State is a 1-point favorite, so essentially a pick 'em between the Mountaineers and the Thundering Herd.
Mm. I guess I'll jump in on this one first. I'll tell you, I'm just not this App State team. You know, they're not quite as disciplined as last year. I thought they were a little sloppy last week against Coastal. I have no clue what to make of this game. I mean, this is a really tough one. I think it could go either way. And for no reason whatsoever, I just think App State will find a way to outscore Marshall a little bit. So I'll take the Mountaineers -1 at Marshall. Jay?
Yeah, I mean, who knows on this ballgame? I mean, it's 1 point. I mean, either team could win this one. I'm going to go ahead and go with Marshall since they're at home. But wouldn't surprise me this ballgame going either way, but I'll take the Thunder and Herd.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I was actually going to, like, really bet money, that would be, of all these games we've talked about, I have the least bit of confidence in that game right there. I have no idea, you know, who's going to win that one. So it'll be a fun one to watch, though.
To the Big 12, down in Waco, Texas, Baylor is a 2.5-point favorite over K-State.
Mm, Baylor minus 2.5 at home against K-State. What do you think, Jay?
All right, I'm going to go with Baylor. I just have confidence in Dave Aranda. And I believe that they're going to go ahead and they had a big victory last week. I think they're going to continue the hot streak.
I'm going to agree with you here. Kansas State's been kind of up and down when you look at them all year, and tough loss last week. I like the fact that this is in – what is it, Waco? Is that where they are, down in Baylor? So I'll take the Baylor Bears at home to cover that 2.5. Always tough in the Big 12, though. What What do you think next, Bubba?
Liberty Flames. Obviously, only that 1-point loss to Wake Forest this year prevents them from being undefeated at this point, and they head to Hartford, and they're going to be taking on UConn, who, get this, guys, is playing for bowl eligibility. After this game, they have Army. So I don't like their chances in this one, but they could certainly beat Army and become bowl eligible in Jim Moore Jr.'s first season.
All right, so I'll just say nobody strolls into East Hartford, Connecticut, and pushes around the Huskies. It just doesn't happen. How about that? How about that? This might be the coaching job of the year. Jim Mora Jr. in a job that it was so dire at UConn, where it was like, can they actually win two games? And here they are, bowl eligibility in his first year. That's a coach that's an impressive job to me, when you can win with less. So that's a program heading in the right direction, which is good to see. However, they are way, way overmatched this week. Liberty's in a totally different class, and UConn's been feasting on, weak opponents. So Liberty's going to absolutely put the smack down. I think they'll win this game by 28. Jay, what do you think here?
I think Liberty's really good. So I think they're going to go ahead. I mean, I know it's on the road, but I think their offense always finds a way to score points. I think it's a tough matchup for UConn. I'm impressed by Jim Mora, but I think this will be Liberty's game.
And how impressive, talking about how impressive Jim Mora is, I mean, how about Hugh Freeze, what he's been able to do at Liberty?
Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal, and he's going to have an SEC job if he wants it in the offseason. It'll just depend if he wants to leave or stay at Liberty. And they gave him a extension and a raise, but he's the real deal.
No doubt about it. All right, Bubba. So what we have next? Do we go to the Big Ten now? B?
Sure, if you want to throw in an 11th game.
So, Bubba.
We could go Yeah, nothing intentional toward the Big Ten. I know you're kidding, but I looked at Wisconsin is a 1-point favorite at Iowa, and then you also have Penn State, that rivalry matchup with Maryland. You guys recall here a few years ago remember the words were exchanged and the Maryland and I say the words were exchanged. So I think maybe words were exchanged pregame, but during the handshake. A handshake was not exchanged between the Terps and the Nittany Lions in Happy Valley. You remember that?
I do remember something about this, but it's a little hazy for me.
Penn State, I believe, proceeded to lay a beat down on them.
All right.
Well, but anyway, Penn State's a 10-point favorite over Maryland.
Yeah, and I was just messing with you, Bubba. This was not one of our preview games, but I think Penn State will find a way to get that one done at home, Jay. So hey, let's take a final look. So we made it through all our preview games, Bubba.
Yes, that's all 10 games.
Okay.
And through 10 weeks now, you are 30-29-1. Meanwhile, Jay's 29-30-1. You were 5-5, and Jay was 4-6.
All right. Well, hey, it's still anybody's race, Jay. Final game to take a look at tonight, as we always do. We always close the show with East Carolina. And you talk about an absolute monster game this Friday night in Cincinnati. What an opportunity for this program, Jay.
It's coming off of a bye week, which is huge. I just think everything's aligning for East Carolina. It's going to be a tough ball game on the road at Cincinnati against a really good team. I just think East Carolina, this could be their time to have that big win. And everything's been clicking. Guys are getting fresher through the bye week. And, you know, if you can win this one, you can roll into a lot of momentum with those final two games, and senior day being Houston next week. But I think this ball game is going to come over down to turnovers and line play. East Carolina can win the turnover battle and play well on the lines. I think they have a chance to win the ball game.
So, Jay, the line Cincinnati minus, I'm seeing minus five here. I know it's fluctuated, you know, a half point here or there. What do you think against the spread, Jay? Who, if you had to make a pick here, who are you going with? Well, unless you're calling the game, you're not going anywhere near.
I think East Carolina. I think East Carolina could win. So okay. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Cincinnati has talent, and they could win, you know, as well. I just think this is going to be East Carolina's night. So I think East Carolina is going to cover.
I like it. I'll tell you guys, like, I kind of like these Friday night games, kind of enjoying this here. So it's a nice change of pace to have the game on Friday night. So I kind of like that. You know, Cincinnati, listen, they have a ton of talent, and they're well-coached, physical team, but they have lost a lot of weapons. And like to your point, Jay, I love the fact that we're coming off of a bye week. You know, we're getting healthy, and we have a lot of momentum on our side. And I'll just say, like, I think we're the better team. I really believe we're the better team right now outside of, you know, maybe the kicking game, which can certainly bite you in a close ball game like this. But maybe we're heading in the right direction there too. I'm with you. I love our chances here. I think, you know, and I'm not just saying this as an East Carolina alum. I think we're going to go into Cincinnati and win this game. You know, Bubba, I don't know if you're able to chime in on this one.
Which
this is the
muted myself for a moment and had tired game. Yeah. I noticed that it had gone from 6.5 down to 5, and then I was talking to Kyle earlier. He said he had actually seen as low as 4.5 in spots last night. I love our chances. You know, if we don't go up there and have a special teams mistake or two and turn the ball over, which we've been, I don't think we've turned the ball over since Tulane. Definitely haven't thrown an interception. We may not have turned the ball over in the last three games. But nonetheless, we've protected the football very, very well. And I think if we play the way we can play, that 31-game win streak may just be coming to an end for the Bearcats.
I agree with both you guys on this. Hey, it's going to be fun to watch, guys, and really looking forward to another big matchup. And, hey, another show in the books, guys, as we head into Week 11. Jay, I appreciate your thoughts, as always. Bubba, who is you know, the producer of the year. Appreciate you as always. And we do have a question here, right, from Jay Walker. How's Keaton Mitchell's health? You guys want to chime in on this one?
I know during the post game at BYU, I was honestly very surprised that he did a post game interview, but that was an excellent sign. And Coach Houston, when asked, said that Keaton's fine and that he'll be ready to go. So, yeah, from everything we've heard, he should be 100%.
Yeah, he took a pretty vicious headshot there late in that game. And, you know, I was a little concerned that it was going to be a pretty severe concussion. But, you know, we're going to need him, you know, Jay, at full strength to win that game in Cincinnati. So, you know, hopefully he's, you know, 100% ready to go.
Yeah, he brings a different dimension to the offense. I mean, he's an outstanding player that makes defenses, you know, that challenges them with his speed. So he's just a difference maker. And if he's available and healthy, he can change the course of a ball game with one carry or one catch.
Absolutely. And Bubba, I know you wanted to mention Pirate baseball, or excuse me, basketball here. Jumping the gun.
Yeah, the Mike Schwartz era is getting underway tonight. Here in just over a half hour, the Pirates will take on Mercer out of the SoCon. That's a program over the last 3 years has won an average of 17 games, picked in the middle of the pack in the 10-team SoCon this year. And it's going to be a strong first test for Coach Schwartz and staff, with so many new pieces to the puzzle, and having lost, 85 to 90% of our scoring from a season ago. Yes, and see where that comes from. I think it's not really important. Diminutive new point guard. One of the point guards, I think Javon Small will be the starter, but LeCount will definitely get some minutes. But LeCount from L.A. led the state of California high school basketball in scoring a season ago with more than 30 points per contest. So let's hope that over the next couple years, few years, that Caleb LeCount proves to be, a Muggsy Bogues or a Spud Webb or someone of that nature, because he certainly has a lot of personality, and from all accounts, or by all accounts, has an excellent game to go with it. So looking forward to seeing him tonight. Join us after the game. It will at least be Dave and myself, maybe some other on our team will chime in, but at least Dave and I will do Pirate basketball overtime right around 9 o'clock, taking a look back at the first game of the Mike Schwartz era against the Mercer Bears. So be sure to tune in here on YouTube as well as Facebook Live and give us your thoughts on the Pirates season opener. But for Sonny and Semenza, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective in week 11 of Sonny and Semenza. Have a great week, everyone, and as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. Listen to the show pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Be sure to follow us on social media at The Sports OBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at The Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!